This week is Parshas Shemini, Vayihi Vayom HaShemini, and it's also Parshas Par. Okay, it's a nice parasha, a lot going on. And let's begin with a Vard. I for sure told you this Vard, but it's such a good Vard, I can't hold back from just repeating it very quickly. What does it mean, Vayihi Vayom HaShemini? I heard this Vard again. Someone told me in the name of Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I believe others say this also. I don't think when I first said it originally it was from David Feinstein, but someone told me yes, from David Feinstein. What does it mean here, the eighth day? So Rashi says the obvious, Shmini Limiluim. It's the eighth day of the Miluim. There were 7 days, starting with Chof Gimel Adar. Chof Gimel Adar is when? It's Sunday maybe, right? Shabbos, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Shragimel. That was the day when Moshe Rabbeinu for 7 days erected, assembled, and disassembled the Mishkan and offered a set of korbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, had the status of a Kohen, and he did the Avoda for 7 days. Every single day he put up the Mishkan, did the Avoda, and took it apart for 7 days. Now on day eight is the first day of Nisan. Now Moshe, he hands over the torch. He now gives over the Avoida permanently to Aaron, his brother, and they put up the Mishkan again, but this time the Mishkan is not going to be disassembled. And we mentioned this, that this is really a remes for the 7/8 Mikdashites that have existed in this world, which was a home or host for Hashem's divine presence. There was the Mishkan in the Midbar for 40 years, the Mishkan in Gilgal, the Mishkan in Shiloh.
Was it the same Mishkan?
Yes, it was, but it still had a different status. Gilgal is not the same as the Midbar. It's considered to be something different. They didn't take it down. It's considered to be different. It was in Eretz Yisrael. The Midbar was 40 years. You're making a good point, but it's still considered to be something separate. The Mishkan is number one. Gilgal is number two. Shiloh is number three. Then comes Noi V'Givon is 4 and 5. The Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni is 6 and 7. These were Mekoymois that were the resting place of Hashem's divine presence. 7 major Mishkonois in this world that hosted Hashem. But unfortunately, they all came down. They were put up and they were taken down. Vayihi Bayom Hashmini alludes to the Bayis Shalishi. The Bayis Shlishi that will be built will never come down. And that Beis HaMikdash is alluded to in the beginning of the sixth parasha, Vayihi Bayom HaShemini. That's what Rashi says. That's Pashup Shat. But Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livrach, he says, Bayom HaShemini is a continuation of Maise Bereshis. In Maise Bereshis, there were 7 days of creation. Yoim Echad, Yoim Sheni, Yoim Shlishi, Yoim HaShemini, and Bayichal Lokim Eskol HaShem Rosav Yinei Toiv Mo'od, and vayichulu ha-shvamers v'chol tzvaychal lukim bayoim ha-shevi'i. Go to the first aliyah of Parashas Bereshis. There are 7 days of creation. Now, what about what comes after the number 7? When is the 8th day of creation? That's this week's parasha. Finally, we get to the 8th day of creation. Vayihi bayoim ha-shemini. The 8th day of creation is the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan. The first 7 days were days of physical creation. Hashem made the earth, the heaven, water, animals, fish, birds, vegetation, food, you name it. All of that was all created in the first 7 days of creation. Shabbos is also a creation. Hashem created rest. Hashem created menucha. That's also something that is physical. The body needs rest. And now comes the spiritual dimension. This is the continuation of the sheshes, of the shivas, yimei habreshes. Vayehi bayoim hashmini. It's a very special day, very special parasha. Okay, now let's go to another idea. First, second, next pasuk. Vayomer el Aaron, kach lecho egel, ben bokor lechatos. It's an amazing week. This week, you know, this year, the calendar this year is spectacular. The calendar in a leap year, there are different ways it falls out, but this year, every year is unique. But this year, a lot of things fit. There are a lot of very interesting connections that really, you get a sense that the calendar is working for us. And a leap year is very, very, very unique. And the opening of the parasha begins with, it's the Yom HaShemini, you're going to bring a special set of korbanos to inaugurate the Mishkan, one-time deal. These korbanos were only brought on this day and will never be brought again. These are special gezeres hakas of the miluim. These korbanos were presented in Parashas Tetzaveh. Here they're being put into action on this day when Aaron, the first day of the Hakamas HaMishkan, where Aaron is in control, and he brings a special set of korbanos. The first korban of the day, the very first, is the egel. Vayoymer el Aaron, kach lecho egel. Ben bokar lechatos ve'ayil yolot temimim ve'hakrev lefnei Hashem. Rashi, Pasuk Beis. Egel, what is this egel? Lehoidia. The reason why I want you, Aaron, to bring in egel, I want to make it known to the entire world. Shemichaper loy hakadosh baruch hu al yidei egel ze al maisei ho egel she'osa. This egel is a statement that I have forgiven you for the chet ha'egel. So, egel for egel. You're going to bring in egel, and this egel is going to be the atonement for the egel hazav. That's what we're going to lay in the first aliyah. What are we going to lay this year as the last aliyah this year? Parshas Parah. Right. Maftir, they're going to call up a maftir. They're going to call up a chashuva person for maftir to lay in about the parah. What's the purpose of parah aduma? Parah aduma, what does Rashi say, the first Rashi in parah aduma? It's to be mechaper on the chet ha'egel. Why? The parah is the mother. The mother of the egel. The egel is a baby, an infant. And the egel grows into a parah. Or an egel grows into a par. An egel is a male, an egel. But the egel is the child, the ben, of the parah, the female mother. Let the mother come and clean up her baby's mess. That's what Rashi says in Parashas Chukas. So what is the Parah Aduma all about? Every time a person becomes contaminated, becomes Tamei, death is all a product of sin, and he needs purification to remove the Tuma, he has to go through this process of Parah Aduma. Every time a person goes through this process, it's a kapara, an atonement for the Chei to Egel. It goes on forever. The Chei to Egel was so great, it's so penetrating to Klal Yisrael. We live in the glow of the Egel for doiros, forever. Uviyoyim pokti, where Hashem says, on the day that I'm going to visit upon you punishment, I'm also mixed into the punishment that I bring upon the Jewish people, for whatever the reasons are, will also be a small amount of punishment for the Chet HaEgel. This goes on for generations. And we constantly, continuously try to mitigate this punishment by attaching ourselves to the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. Bisman Shabbos Hamidrash Yekayim, we would be metaher ourselves through the water mixed with the ash of the Parah Aduma. And it's all for the purpose of bringing an atonement for the Parah Aduma. So our question is, what is going on? Doesn't it say here that the egel of the miluim that Aaron offered, that was the kapara for the chet egel? Why is there another carbon, the Parah Aduma, that is an atonement for the, is it the egel of Aaron, the Pasuk Beis in this week's parasha, kachat chol egel ben bakal lichatos v'ayel le'oila, temimim, v'hachir v'fnei Hashem, or is it the Parah Aduma that is the atonement for the Jewish people of worshipping the egel? Which one is it? So the answer obviously is both. And the fact that we lay this week the first aliyah, a kapara for the chedu egel, and the last aliyah, the maftir for the chedu egel, is teaching us that there are two major dimensions to the chet ha'egel. And each dimension of chet needs its own atonement. Now let's analyze the chet ha'egel. Number one, they made it. They actually donated materials. Now you'll say, who did it? You'll say, the Erev Rav. Let's put that aside. Let's not focus exactly who made the egel. The egel was fashioned by the Jewish people, whether it was the Erev Rav, they donated gold, and they assembled, they gave it to Aaron, they forced Aaron, they tied his hand, they forced him, they threatened him, they murdered Hur. They would have murdered Aaron if he did not obey and help them make the egel. And then they danced around it. they danced and they said to the eagle, Eila Elohecha Yisrael Asher Ha'aleisa Me'aretz Mitzrayim. They said to the eagle, Hazav, you are the God that took us out of Egypt. What greater disgrace could there possibly be? Chazal said that they took the man, the lechem abidim that Hashem gave them, the miraculous sustenance, and they offered it as a korban to the eagle. Would you believe such a thing? Hashem gives the Jewish people in the desert man, and they take the man, and they give the man as a gift, an offering to the eagle. Ad kedei kach. They did pretty serious stuff. Pretty serious stuff. That needs atonement. The atonement? What was the atonement? The atonement was for that was the eagle. It was the building of the Mishkan, the actual construction of the Mishkan, which culminated in the Chanukah San Mishkan and the offering of Aaron's inaugural carbon of the Egel ben Bokor Lechatos as an atonement for the actual doing. But there's another dimension to the Egel, and that is even though after Moshe came down and he shouted the luchos and he screamed at them and they took the Egel and they pulverized it and they dissolved it and they threw it into the wind, into the water, and they died. After everything is said and done, the impact of what happened, that lingers forever. And that also needs atonement. You know, as a backdrop to this parasha, I'm not in any way chas v'sham trying to go into politics, but hafeich b'hafeich b'dekulaba, Hashem did this, we live in a world, and Hashem gave us a backdrop to the parasha. And things that happen in the world that are on the headlines, obviously they relate to the Torah, HaKadosha. One of the major things this week, there was a Supreme Court justice. Okay, not to go into all the gory details. And obviously, this person will become a member of the highest court in the world. And make decisions that affect every single person's life all over the world. The United States is the leader of the free world, and the decisions that are handed down by the Supreme Court, without question, have an effect, trickle down on every single person living in this entire world. And they put up a person who will certainly end up being a justice on this court. And this person made a statement that is very, very shocking. And it's circulating on the news and discussing a certain issue which is not appropriate to talk about here in the Beis Medrash. And the person said, what happened in 15 minutes of a person's life shouldn't have any impact on them for the rest of their life. Just because for 15 minutes of their life they were involved in doing something, so what? 15 minutes of your life should have an effect on your whole life? I disagree. For 15 minutes of your life you did something? Okay. Isolated. Doesn't make a difference. The rest of your life you can do it. We ignore what happened those 15 minutes.
She actually said that?
Yes, she actually said that. This, I think she said, maybe it was presented, it's on all the headlines. Okay, I didn't go look at all the video clips, but this is what's on all the headlines. Okay, now, that statement is mamish kineged kol ha-Torah kula. Not that a kid, listen, this is not our country. I'm not in any way trying to chas v'shalom think that they're bound by anything of the Torah. Hay luchud. But it's something which Hashem is presenting in front of us. We, as independent people, what's good for the country is nothing to do with the Torah.
There are values that are absolute values.
Okay, there are things. I'm not coming over here to make it. I'm not for me to do that. But when you hear a statement like that and you look at the Torah, that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is that there are two atonements in this week we're going to focus on for the Chet HaEgel. For the 15 minutes that Klal Yisrael made the Egel, from the time that they made the Egel until Moshe Rabbeinu came down and said, what are you guys doing? You're dancing around an Egel. You gave money. You made an Egel Azov. You did this. You killed Chor. You spent time doing this and you're dancing. Ad kan. Stop. For those 15 minutes, whatever the amount of time it was that they were involved in fashioning this idol and dancing and doing the Avera, there's going to be atonement. There's going to be Kach lecha egel ben bokor lechatos, as an atonement. The akrev lefnei Hashem. We're gonna clean that up. Those 15 minutes. But it's not just the 15 minutes. That's a serious violation that must be dealt with. But do you realize the consequences?
Yeah,
do you realize that those 15 minutes will now indeed define you in your essence? Do you realize the ramifications? You can't go and say, oh, we took care of those 15 minutes. Those 15 minutes have been atoned. Aaron, he made an egel. He made an egel hazaf. We built the Mishkan. We gave a lot more money to build the Mishkan than we gave for the egel hazaf. We did it with a lot more fanfare, a lot more excitement. Look how we atoned. We have atoned for the egel, the making of the egel, by giving an enormous amount of money and excitement and ceremony. And we brought a korban. The inaugural korban is an egel. And we slaughtered it to Hashem, and we took its blood, and we sprinkled it, and we burnt it. We're done. No, you're not. That's done. That element is done. But when you get to Maftir, you're going to lay in a very long parasha. Para aduma timima asher ein bomum. Loyal leha oil. Unisatim oisa el lozer hakoin. And ad hayoim hazeh. For 3,000 years, 3,334 years since Matan Torah, we're still dealing with the ramifications, the consequences of those 15 minutes. Okay? Maybe good for this country, I don't know, that's none of my business. But the Torah clearly says there are two atonements. There's an atonement of the Egel, Kach Lucho, Egel Ben Boker Lichatos. Hashem forgave you for the maisa, for the action of of what you've done. What you've done, you paid the price for what you've done. But it lingers on. It does linger on. There are two dimensions. There's the maisa hachet. The maisa hachet has to be corrected. The avera has to be, the object of sin has to be destroyed. Safeguards have to be erected. You have to atone for your behavior. Whether it's going to be money, whether it's going to be punishment, whatever it is. Okay, we're done with that. But just because you're done with that, it has made an impact. And you can never erase that impact. And that impact has consequences l'doyrois. And the para aduma is the other dimension, is the impact l'doyrois. You've served your time. Okay, just because a person did a crime and he served his time, it doesn't take away, it lingers. There is damage. You know, it depends what a person does, obviously, okay?
Doesn't undo collateral.
Exactly. It's not just the collateral. We're not even talking about the collateral. Even if you could undo the collateral, even if you could undo the collateral, the fact that this was done has a life of its own, and somehow you can't shake it. And obviously, it depends what a person does. You know, if a person goes and he steals some popcorn, it's not the same as committing murder. You go and you steal some popcorn at some Chalamoid event, you just can't control yourself when no one's looking, you steal someone's popcorn. All right, I don't know how long that Avera lingers. But a person commits murder, a person does Avodah Zarah Gili Arayis, and the person serves his time, and he's punished, whether it's physical punishment, monetary punishment, okay, I've done my time. Yeah, but you know, there's a person who's no longer in this world because of you. There's a person, you've destroyed a person's marriage. You nichshol an eishes ish. You committed some type of crime which affects the lives of people. You've served your time. The government has set of laws of what you have to, the fines and the penalties. You've paid in full. Just because you paid in full, there's a dimension. There's a dimension that's hard to define in words that is present. And you are defined by that life that you've created, which cannot be defined in words, whether you like it or not. And the para aduma is there for that. Hashem did chesed with Klal Yisrael. The consequences of the maiseh ha'egel, is atoned for in the Binyan HaMishkan, which culminates with the inauguration and the offering of the Egel. But the lingering dimension of what we have done, even though we've paid our price, it lingers. It lingers whether you like it or not, and you have to deal with that. You can't just, oh, I don't care, it's not important. It's been with us for 3,334 years, and that's the second dimension of the chait and the second need for atonement, which is the purpose of the para aduma. Okay, I want to go to another idea now. We have over here, this week, it's nothing happens by coincidence. Okay, this is just what we said before we gave it. We said some words of some machshav about the Gadol Hadar, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zecher Tzadik Levrach, who passed away this week, last week. Really, the entire week is a week of Shiva. Okay, starting from Mitzoyah, he passed away on Friday. Mitzoyah Shabbos and Sunday morning is a din of Aninus. And the Avelus ends on the Shabbos. So the whole week, it's a whole week of Avelus for Klal Yisrael. And if you listen to some of the Hespedim, the Sikhs have been delivered all over the world. There have been literally hundreds of Hespedim that are public. You can go online, every website. All the Torah websites are heaping with Hespedim from all different Rabbanim. It's there's one basic theme, and that is Chazal say when a tzaddik dies, when a Talmud Chacham of this stature dies, it is shakul kineged the churban beis hamikdash. Misa tzaddikim is equivalent to the churban beis hamikdash. This week we experienced the churban beis hamikdash. Person who is accepted, acknowledged, beloved as being the Gadol Hadar, from the Gedolei Hadar, passed away, it's mamish the Churban Beis HaMikdash in front of our eyes, the Sreifat Beis HaMikdash. Nothing is a coincidence, Afeich ba'afeich ba'dekulaba. In this week's parash, we learn about the tragedy of Nadav Aviv. Vateitzei Eish milifnei Hashem, a fire went forth, milifnei Hashem, vatoichal oisam. They perished. Vayamusu lifnei Hashem. Okay, and Moshe says to Aaron the words that the most painful words of the Torah, perhaps. The words are Ulelozer vayomer Moshe Aaron Ulelozer ulisam v'abonav bonav roshechem al tifrohu uvigdechem lo yisifrem. Do not let your hair grow long. Do not rip your clothing. You are kohanim. You must go do the avoda. And as far as the avelus, the tragedy, va'achechem kol beis Yisrael, yivku es hasereifa asher soraf Hashem. Nothing is a coincidence. Chaim Kanievsky Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he left us against the backdrop of these words the entire week. Is a week of Avelos where these words leap off, they literally leap out of the Sefer Torah. Va'achichem kol beis Yisrael. His brothers. Chaim Kanievsky looked at everyone like his brother. Yivku es hasreifa. It's incumbent upon them to cry over the Sreifa asher soraf Hashem. It's not a coincidence. This Hashem is making a statement. This is a tragedy. This is a very big tragedy. Rashi says powerful words. Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael. Mikan, from this pasuk you learn, she'tzorason shel talmidei chachamim. The tzara, the pain, the tzar of talmidei chachamim. Chaim Kanievsky, the ultimate tzar is the person who leaves this world, who dies. Muteles al hakol is incumbent upon every single person, lehis abel ba, to mourn over their loss. Okay, this is heavy duty stuff, and The words speak for themselves to acknowledge the Musar of Hashem, what has happened, and what are you going to say? His time came. There's no such thing. Just because he was 94 doesn't mean he was chayiv to die. No such thing. No such thing. Even if he was 100 years old, even if he was 120 years old, it's a very big tragedy. It's an incredible, incredible void. The words again speak for themselves. Now, why did Nadav Avihu die? Oh, what a dangerous question, right? Why did they die? That's a dangerous, loaded question. No one can ever dare ask that question today regarding anything. But for some reason, Chazal were very eager to tell us why bad things happen to good people. Obviously, they knew, and there are lessons what to learn. And Rashi, the Gemara, in fact, has many, many reasons. Many, a whole long list of reasons. You look at other Mefarshim, you'll find for some reason there's a need to explore why they die. Okay, whatever it is not my issue. And Rashi is very, as you all know, is extremely selective in what he says. So Rashi didn't give a long list. Rashi says two reasons. There are two reasons why they passed away. Let me find the Rashi. Rashi says, let me find the Rashi. Two reasons Rashi says. Vateit se esh, pasik beis, perik tes, pasik per, perik yud, pasik vateit esh. Rabbi Eliezer Oimer, loimesu b'nei aharon elo al yidei shehoiru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. They were moira halacha b'fnei Rabban. They decided a halacha. They showed disrespect for their teacher. What was the disrespect? The pasuk right before. The pasuk right before says, "Vateitzei esh milifnei Hashem." They put the korbanos on the mizbeach, and they were mispalel. A miraculous fire came out of heaven and was going to burn the korbanos. Nadav Avihu said, "No. Even though we're witnessing miracles, a fire is coming out of heaven that will consume the korban. There is a mitzvah for a human being, al derech hateva, to rub two stones together, to strike a match, and produce a fire that comes through nature, science. Trust the science. Even though we're witnessing miracles, there's a mitzvah for a person, a human being, a kohen, to make his own fire using the laws of nature, the laws of science, and to ignite the korbanos. Don't use the esh min hashamayim. The esh min hashamayim is a bonus. It will enhance the consumption of the korban, but the initial ignition must come from a basa v'dam. That's a very novel chiddush. Who was mechadish this halacha? Nadav Avihu. Excuse me, you're not a bar hochi to decide a halacha in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is standing right here. Moshe is the teacher. Let Moshe decide. Ask Moshe. Don't go and issue this psak halacha. Don't send out a tweet telling everyone this is what the halacha is. Moira halacha b'fnei Rabban. Chayiv Nisa. That's why they died. And then Rashi says another reason, because the next parasha is the mitzvah of Shesuya Yayin. So therefore, Nadav Avihu, they made a mistake. They had a lachayin. They drank some yayin before they went into the Beis HaMikdash. Why would they want to drink yayin? So some will suggest, the yayin yisamach levav enosh. To do the avodah, let us enhance our performance by having some yayin that will make us in a pleasant mood, and we'll be able to do the avodah with more simcha. They made a mistake. When it comes to doing the avodah, Hashem does not want you to enhance your performance, your service, by consuming, imbibing alcoholic beverages, even just a little bit. No, you have to do it naturally. Okay, fine. Rashi obviously is always says lebasi ella leforesh. These two averos appear to be almost explicit in the pasuk. I mean, not mamish explicit, but since the pasuk right before it says vateitzei esh milifnei Hashem, and the parasha immediately following says is the parasha of Shesuya Yayin, so it's fair game. It's fair game to say that either what it says immediately before or immediately after was the catalyst for this horror of Hateitzayish Lufnei Hashem. Okay, fine. That's Pashup Shat. Now, question. We discussed this in the afternoon. We had a whole long, intense discussion. Mr. Rapport, are you here? I don't see Mr. Rapport. It shouldn't embarrass him. I'm not being here. But Mr. Rapport, we had a whole intensive discussion about this. About after Nadav Aviu died, Aaron, he says, Vayom Moshe Aaron, he gives him Hu Asher Dibra Hashem, and he then Vayikura Moshe. Moshe calls El Mishael, the El Tzofon Bnei Uziel, Dod Aharon. Vayom Raleyem, you are given the honor of going into the Kodesh HaKodashim to serve as the Chevra Kadisha, to take the bodies out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. We're giving you the kavod, the honor of being, of doing this service. Kirvu su'u es acheichem me'es p'nei HaKodesh el michutz l'machane. Vayikrivu vayisu michuton b'chuton oysam el michutz l'machane kasher di b'moshe. Doesn't say, it's not relevant, whatever it is. They took him out, whatever it is, it is not relevant. Question. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu select? Mr. Cohen, don't worry. It's okay. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu select these two people? There's a whole Klal Yisrael. There are 600,000 men over the age of 20 that are eligible to be the same exact. Why did he select these two people? Who are these people? Who are they? They're first cousins once removed of Nadav Aviv. Who are these people? We don't really know. There's just one little hint. Dod, they were the sons. Vayomer Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, El Mishol V'El El Tzafan, B'nei Uziel. Dod Aharon. How do we translate the word Dod? Uziel was the uncle of Aaron. Well, who's speaking over here? Moshe is speaking. If it's Aaron's uncle, it's Moshe's uncle. Right? If it's Aaron's uncle, it's Moshe's uncle. So why does it say Dod, Aaron? You want to say that Moshe and Aaron would have different.
No, from his wife. I call my uncle.
I hear. Not necessarily, because then there's another word for a mother. Okay, I don't have all the details. I hear what you're saying, but let's leave the question for the moment. Okay, for the moment. What's Dod Aharon? What does this mean? Also, is that the way you call an uncle? How do you call an uncle? What's the real name? What?
Rich uncle?
There's really another word for Dod. An uncle, I'm forgetting, my mind is going, there's a better word.
Dodate?
I think it's really dodate. Is that the correct term? Here it says dod, $2.
There's no love.
$2. Dodate. It should really be $3. Dodate, I think it's dodate. The word dod is a very strange word. It's a very strange word. It only appears one other place in the entire Tanakh. Can you guess? Uvehagia, Tor Esther, Bas Avichail, Doid, Mordechai, Dod, Mordechai. Without the same exact way. The word Dod is not the right word. If you were writing the Torah remark, you would not use the word Dod, you use Dodate. Or Anili Dodivi, this is the way the Mishra Shir, which is the word Dod. I'm forgetting, there's a better word. It's the same Shurish, but it's not used in this form. I'm forgetting. But the word Dod is a little bit strange. It is a little bit strange, this word. And it only appears one other place. The player appears in the Gilas Esther. Uvahagia Tor, the time, when the time for Esther came, the Noshim that were abducted, or came to the Achashverosh, they spent 1 year preparing with beauty treatments. Shisha Chodosh Meshem Hamar, Vishisha Chodosh Babisamim, Uvisamruka Noshim, and then they would go to the Melech. Uvehagia Tor, the time of Esther Bas Avichail, Dod Mordechai. That's the only other place. Now, what does it mean, Dod Mordechai? So many people will tell you that the word Dod Mordechai is going back on Esther. Esther was the niece of Esther was Bas Avichail. Her father was Avichail.
His first cousin.
He said that.
Bas Avichayil. No. Let's go. Let's one thing at a time.
Avichayil was the uncle of Mordechai.
Who says? Wait. We're coming to that. Wait. Not necessarily. Well, no. That's not the pasuk shot. Most people will tell you that when it says in the pasuk of Agia Tor Esther, Esther was the daughter of Avichayil. Then it says the word Dod Mordechai. There are two ways to learn pshat in the pasuk. Is Dod Mordechai, what is the subject of Dod Mordechai? Avichayil or Esther? Most people will tell you that the subject of Dod Mordechai is going back on Esther. Esther was the daughter of Avichayil. And Esther, and Mordechai was the Dod of Esther. Two separate statements. Esther, Bas Avichayil, Kamo. Kamo, this is the common understanding. Esther, Bas.
That's not the way we learn. No.
There are two mahalchim. That's not the common pshat. We learned even yesterday that Mordechai married his niece. Married, where does it say it's his niece? It's his cousin. According to you, it's his cousin. There are two mahalchim. There are two mahalchim how to learn pshat in the pasuk.
Where does it say that? Where does it say that?
I don't have a source for you right now.
No, because it's not the right shot.
Why is not the right shot?
Because they were first cousins.
That's because you are teaching the pasuk Dod Mordechai that Mordechai was the uncle of Avichayil, and that will make Esther a first cousin to Mordechai. Avichayil was the uncle. Right? Avichayil was the uncle. Dod Mordechai. Avichayil was the uncle of Mordechai. And that will then make Esther into Mordechai's first cousin. Because Rav Baruch is saying that the words Dod Mordechai are referring back to Avichayil. Avichayil was...
That's the way I was born.
That's one. But that means that Mordechai and Esther were first cousins. Avichayil was the uncle of Mordechai. And Avichayil had a daughter by the name of Esther. And if Avichayil is an uncle of Mordechai, and Avichayil is the father of Esther, that makes Esther and Mordechai first cousins. Right? That's one way to learn pshat in the pasuk. But there's another pshat in the pasuk. Uve'agia tor Esther bas Avichayil. Esther is Esther bas Avichayil. Dod Mordechai. She had an uncle. She had an uncle whose name was Mordechai, and Mordechai married his niece. Okay, let's put that away. It's not relevant for right now. Right now, that point is not relevant. How do you learn Shah in the Pasuk? In this Pasuk, no one seems to disagree. In this Pasuk, everyone seems to say that the word, like what you're trying to say, Baruch, is that the word Dod is going back on what it says immediately before. So we have over here, Vayikra Moshe El Mishoel, the El El Tzofan, B'nei Uziel. Who is Uziel? Uziel is the Dod of Aaron. If Uziel is the Dod of Aaron, why then don't we say that he's the Dod of Moshe? Dod Moshe of Aaron. How come we're snubbing Moshe?
Because it's Aaron's sons who passed away. We're dealing with it.
So what? Moshe's calling the shots here. Moshe, Vayikra Moshe. Moshe's calling. Who's he calling to? El Mishrael, V'el El Tzofan, to these two people, who are the children of Uziel. Who is Uziel? Uziel is the uncle of Aaron. So he's calling, the two people he's calling are Aaron's, are Nadav Yaviu's first cousins once removed. Why? What's going on here? Why these people? Why them and then anyone else? And why are we using this strange word, Dod? And why also does it say Vayikra? Yikra Loshon of Chiba. Someone made this point in the afternoon. We learned in the afternoon. Vayikra Loshon of Chiba. Love. Doesn't say Vayidaber. Or doesn't say Vayomer. Ordinarily you'd say Vayomer Moshe El Mishael. Moshe said, what's Vayikra? What's Vayikra is not really the right word. It should be Vayomer. Vayomer Moshe El Mishael the El Safan Bnei Uziel Dod Aaron. What's going on? So I came across something that is really shocking. In the Oitzer HaPelos, if I knew that I would be saying this, I would have brought it in, I would have photocopied, I would tell you all of the sources. If you want the sources, let me know, I'll tell you all the nitty gritty, the detail. It says a shocking thing which opens up a whole world of commentary. And it says the word dod is a very strange word for uncle. And the word dod really means your Rebbe, your teacher. And the word dod is related to nursing. Kasher yisa ho'oymenes hayoynek, to nursing. Okay, without going into graphic detail. And Chazal make it very clear that a Rebbe teaching Torah to a student is in the category of nursing a child. You're feeding a child. You're nurturing a child. The word dod, if it meant uncle, it would have said a different word. There are other words in the Hebrew language, in Shir HaShirim, that have better, more appropriate words than the word dod.
Such as?
Dodeid. No, what's the word? See, if I knew, I'll get challenged. I should have brought in the sefer. I don't have the sefer with me. I have it in shul. I didn't know.
Actually, the shorish dalid vav dalid refers to ahava.
Dudaim. Okay,
Dudaim.
So it's even better. The love of a Rebbe to a Talmud.
The beloved of Hashem. That's the.
You're right. You're saying very, very well. I'll prove to you that you're right because there's a Radal. Radal was a Mekubal. And the Radal says something that is incredibly shocking. He says that when Shlomo HaMelech wrote Shir HaShirim, he wrote it as a relationship between a man and a woman, to express, which is a metaphor for the love that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. He says, really, that's not the ultimate metaphor. The metaphor that Shlomo HaMelech was going to write, was planning to use, this is what the Radal says, Shir HaShirim is a metaphor between the love between a Rebbe and his students. Because the ultimate love in this world is not between man and a woman, not between a father and a child. The ultimate love in this world is between a student and his Rebbe, and the Rebbe towards his students. That's the ultimate love. It's because the Jewish people were not worthy of this, because of their chatoim, that Shlomo HaMelech had to take a step down and describe the relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael in terms of the love between a man and a woman. They weren't zoicha to describe it in terms of the love between a Rebbe and a student. So exactly what you're saying is true. The word dod comes from love, and mother and a child, and all that goes with it. And the word dod means the Rebbe. Now let's now go to Mordechai. Now, Esther, who did Mordechai marry? Uvehagia tor Esther bas Avichayil, Esther, the daughter of Avichayil. Who is Avichayil? Who is Avichayil? Avichayil was the dod of Mordechai. He was the Rebbe of Mordechai. Mordechai married the Rosh HaYeshiva's daughter. He married his Rebbe's daughter. Now you have to realize that he died when her mother was pregnant. So she, Esther, never even saw Avichayil. Chazal says, the ein lo of the ein. She has no father and mother, which Chazal means that when her mother, Rashi says, when her mother was pregnant, her father died. And when her mother gave birth, she died, the mother died. But yet, she came from a home of Torah. Her father was the Rebbe of Mordechai. Uvagia Tor Esther, Bas Avichayil. Who is this woman, Esther, who is now going? Doesn't call Esther. Why does the pasuk here, when Esther is now going to Achashverosh, going to the Goy, why does it all of a sudden give us the Ganze Yichus? Doesn't say the Yichus. Every time it's Esther, Esther Hamalka, Esther Hamalka, why? Now is the moment of truth. When you go out into the world and you're being challenged to abandon Yiddishkeit, now is when your education makes a big difference, who you come from. Uvehagia, came the time, Tor Esther, she has to go to the Melech. Is she going to abandon her Yiddishkeit, the nesyonos of dealing with the Goyim? So Pasuk tells us she has a very, very strong background. You know who this woman is? Number one, she was married to Mordechai. But it wasn't just that she was married to Mordechai. You know what kind of home she came from? Family, where she came from? She certainly, her entire life, you know, looked up, studied her parents, who they were. She was Avichail. She was Esther Bas Avichail. Who was her father? Her father was the Rebbe, the Doid of Mordechai. Okay, that itself needs a world of commentary about the change of the whole Megillah. Who is Esther? Mordechai married the Rosh Hashiva's daughter, the biggest Talmud Chacham's daughter, his Rebbe's daughter. Now, let's go over here. Now I want to bring out this point. Why did Nadav and Avihu die? Rashi quotes Rabbi Eliezer. The first halach, the first opinion. Because Nadav and Avihu slighted the honor of their Rebbe. They were moire halacha bifnei rabba. There was a lack of respect to the Rebbe. There was a lack of respect. Moira halacha bifnei rabba. There's a question at hand has to be decided. What should you do? You ask the Rebbe. There are charetz to the Rebbe. A lack of respect to the Rebbe. They died. Moshe now needs to take the bodies, get the bodies out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. Moshe is right away working. We have to be misaking. It's not just, okay, let's just get rid of the bodies. Let's bury the bodies and let's get on with the show. That's not what he's doing over here. Now we have to do teshuva immediately. We have to right away do teshuva even before we bury the bodies to rectify the chet. So who does he call? He calls the Rebbe. Aaron is now in a state of avelos. Who does he call? He calls the children of his Rebbe. He calls his first cousins. Why his first? Why am I? I'm assuming that he died already. If Amram died at this time, so probably he also died. He wasn't alive at this time. So who does he call? Who does Moshe call? The Dod Aaron. Aaron, who is your Rebbe? Not my Rebbe. You know where I was during the time when you went to yeshiva? I was in Midian with sheep. I was a shepherd. He's not my Rebbe. He's not my Dod. He's not my Dod. He's your Dod. If you learn Dod means Pshuta Shel Mikra, an uncle. Uh-huh, he's your uncle, he's my uncle. We're all the same family, it's all the same blood. But if you learn Dod means my Rebbe, the one that you were yoinek from, the one that nourished you, the one that imbued in you Torah Yerushalayim, when there are many lessons to learn from this. Rachmana Lissam, when there's a tragedy, where do you go for guidance? Where do you go when there's a tragedy? You go to a politician? You go to your Rebbe. You go to the person who taught you how to deal with life. When a person comes to a life-changing event, you go to your Rebbe. There's a tzara. A terrible tragedy happened. Nadav Avihu died. How do I deal with this? How do you deal with this? You go to the Rebbe. You go to the Rebbe. Whether your Rebbe is a Hasidish Rebbe, whether your Rebbe is a Litvish Rebbe, whether you go have a Rav, you go to the Rebbe to tell me, what am I going to do now? How do I deal with this? The Rebbe's not here. Who's the closest thing to the Rebbe? The Rebbe's successor. Who are the successor of the Rebbeim? The children. That's the way that usually it is. Whether they have positions, they don't have positions. The children, they absorb the teaching of their father. That's the way it used to be. So there's a terrible tragedy. And the whole tragedy, Bechlau, came about because there was a slight to the Rebbe. So what do you do now? Who are we going to select? I'm going to go call the sanitation department to come take the bodies out of the Kodesh HaKodashim? No! You go to the Rebbe! Number one, how do I deal with this? And number two, we want to give you kavod. The sin came about because there was a lack of kavod to the Rebbe. Aaron, you now have to be misakin the chet of your children? These are your children. Why didn't you teach your children to give cover to the Rebbe? Aaron, they're your children. You should know how they should have more cover for their Rebbe. Their Rebbe is Moshe. How come you didn't give them a good chinuch? There's something wrong in the way you're machanuch. I'm saying something a little bit extreme, but I'm trying to make the point. You have to make tikkun. You have to be masaking. So Aaron, go to your Rebbe. Your Rebbe's not alive. Go to your Rebbe's children. Let's start all over again. Vayikra is not just Vayomer. Vayomer is you call 311. Sanitation department, please. I have a dead cat on my front lawn. I can't deal with it. Send the sanitation department to get rid of the cat. I once did that. They came, you know what they did? They picked up the cat, they put it into the trunk of their van, and they went away. He called up the three. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says the son. Who even says that they have to even say we have to even know who took them away? What would have been if the Torah says Vayei Se'esh Lofnei Hashem Vayimus Lofnei Hashem? The end. And the Torah wouldn't tell us who removed them. Would we even have a blink? We don't even think about this. No, they died. Torah's not going to tell us what Moshe ate for breakfast. Torah's not going to tell us who came, the Chevra Kaddish, who came to take away the dead body. It's irrelevant. Someone did it. Whoever did it. Someone went and they took the bodies of the Kodesh HaKodesh and they buried them. And they had a spadim and they had shloshim and a yartzeit suda and they wrote a sefer Torah l'zech and a shmosai and they wrote articles in all the newspapers. Torah has to tell you that. Ridiculous. The Torah here is going out of its way to tell you that Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, it doesn't say Vayomer. Vayomer would mean he called up 311. It says Vayikra, B'loshen Chiba. This was a religious calling. Who did he call? He called the Rebbe of Aaron. Happens to be my uncle? Yes, my uncle, but he's not my Rebbe. Because when Aaron was learning in Yeshiva, you know where I was? I was hanging out with Yisro in Midian. Because I was a fugitive with the sheep. That's what I was doing. I was trying to get engaged to Tzipora. That's what I was doing at the time when Aaron was learning in the cheder by his Rebbe, by Uziel. We got a tzara. We got a big problem now. A tragedy has occurred. We need religious guidance. We need clergy. We need someone to give us hadracha what to do. Not only do we need hadracha what to do, we need to be mesaking the chait. The chait was a lack of respect for the Rebbe. Now we have to immediately give more respect to the Rebbe. Aaron, it's your children, you have to give respect to your Rebbe. This is an incredible limud ha-musar. It's the dod. The dod means a Rebbe. This is not the word. The meaning of the word dod is not my vart. This is what it says. Says this in the Oitzah Pilois by Rabbi Zucherman. He cites a makar that analyzes this unique word in the two locations of where this word appears, and only two places in Tanakh, the unusual word. And he explains. It says the source. The word dod means a Rebbe, just like a woman nurses a child. A Rebbe nurses the Talmud, and the dod means in this context the spiritual guide, the Rebbe. Mordechai married his Rebbe's daughter. Uziel was the Rebbe. Now all this, I'm telling you this, I'm extrapolating from this Yesoid. It's the Rebbe of Aaron, because we have to be misaking the chait of not giving cover to the Rebbe of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have to seek religious guidance in dealing with a difficult situation in life. That's why it was specifically Kirvu. Kirvu now has all this interesting trop. It's the word Kirvu, Vayomer Aleihem, Kirvu. What does it mean, Kirvu? Kirvu has a double trop. We're not going to go into the meaning of the double trop, but Kirvu means it's the same word you use when you bring a karban. Kirvu is karaf. This is a religious experience. Kirvu. Enter into Aaron. Teach Aaron how to deal with the tragedy. We're not just calling them to take the bodies out, to put on a hazmat suit, and to go in and take out the bodies. Kirvu. Give counsel. religious counsel, guidance to Aaron, who's grieving over his children. He needs the Rebbe. You're the Rebbe. You're the children of the Rebbe. You have to kirvu, go near to Aaron and teach him what to do, how to understand, to relate to the tragedy. And he succeeded. Vayidoim Aaron. Hazal give Aaron 5 stars.
Yeah.
And Vayidoim Aaron was the result of Moshe's quick thinking. He knew what to do. If Moshe would not have called for the Talmid, for the Rebbe, the Pasuk would not have said Vayidoim Aaron. The result would have been a lot different. It could have been very tragic how Aaron would have reacted on this day. It could have been resulted in a horrible, we all know that, when Rahmanul let someone this trauma. Bring in the professionals. If you don't bring, nip it in the bud, bring in the professionals to deal with the situation, then Rahmanul Litzlan, it can, you know, it can get out of control for years. It has to be dealt with professionally, especially in the spiritual realm. And only because Moshe was swift on his feet, and he knew who to call. He had the Rolodex ready to go. He knew to call the Rebbe. You have to know in every matzah, who do you call? Who do you call in this situation? This situation demanded the Rebbe should come, the one that taught Aaron, my brother, Hadracha. He needs to be here. He's no longer alive. His children are the closest thing to the Rebbe of Aaron. The Dod Aaron. Kirvu, go into Aaron's cheder. Counsel him over the tragedy. Deal with it. And that's the success of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's real leadership. That's real, real leadership. Real leadership is to know how to deal with the situation, to know who to call, to know what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu, at this moment, he shined like never before. A tragedy? He knew what to do. He knew who to call. He knew to call Mishael and El Tzofan, B'nei Uziel, the Rebbe of Aaron. That's leadership. And that resulted in Vayidoim Aaron, from which there was success. There was great success in Vayidoim Aaron. All right, now let me just tell you one last short vard, one more very short vard. There's another thing I saw there in the Itzipolos, Yerushalmi. Shocking Yerushalmi. It says there that if I knew I would be saying this over today, I would have brought it and tell you the words. That one of the Amoraim, this was Parsha.
Where is this Yerushalmi?
I don't know. Belin Neder, Mr. Apple, I have to get you the source. I didn't say what Yerushalmi is yet, so let me just say. This is Yerushalmi. I do not know where the Yerushalmi is. I do not. If I known I was going to say this over today, I would have, again, prepared and brought in. But I decided this morning, I thought about something and I wanted to say it. It's too late to retrieve the safer, so let me just tell you the basic idea. And we can fill in the gaps another time. This week's parasha is all about kosher food. We enumerate all of the non-kosher birds. The non-kosher, the fish, the animals. How many non-kosher birds are there? 21. Now you have to go connect what it says in Parshas Shemini with Parshas Re'eh, but Chazal make it very clear that they're not really 21 birds, they're really 19. They're really 19 varieties, 19, because three are the same. Three of the birds are the same. The Da'ah, the Ra'ah, and the Ayah. Chazal make it very clear, three of the birds are the same variety, the same min. For some reason, they're called by different names, but it's the Gemara Masechta Chulin. The Ra'ah, the Ayah, and the Da'ah. Those three are all the same. So we reduce 21 to 19. There was an Amoira, it says that when he was davening Shmoyne Esrei, he was busy counting birds. The simple interpretation is, this Amoira was saying, when I was davening Shmoyne Esrei, I was counting birds. I was counting. Another thing he was saying is, I have ADHD, adult attention deficit disorder. ADD or AHDA, whatever it's called, these ADHD. Acronyms, whatever it's called. I cannot concentrate more than 10 seconds, more than 2 seconds. And therefore, this Amora was saying that, you know, I have a very poor concentration span. And when I daven Shemona Esrei, I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing there are birds flying. Yeah. And I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm counting the birds. Instead of concentrating on the holy words of the Shemona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu VeElokei Avoseinu, my mind is elsewhere. I'm looking at the birds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara. This is a shocking thing for a Yerushalmi to say, that an Amora, a holy Amora, Kodesh Kodashim, can we even imagine what an Amora is? When he is davening Shemona Esrei, he can't concentrate. And he's not even embarrassed to tell us that when I'm davening the Shemona Esrei, like when Eretz Yisrael, they daven outdoors, a lot of places, Eretz Yisrael, you go and you're counting the birds? How you talking? This is the Pshat? So Rav Zuckerman, he quotes this very interesting sefer and says it's not what it means. How many blessings are there in Shemona Esrei?
19
blessings. How many non-kosher birds are there?
19.
When he was davening, when he was davening the Shemona Esrei, he was counting the brachas. And each bracha corresponds to a non-kosher bird. That's all it says. Adkan, that's what it says there. And I think he goes on. If you go look in the Sefer, he goes and he shows how each bracha, each bracha, you have to know which bird he's talking about, right? Which bird, and you somehow you're going to fit each bracha into a different type of bird. Okay, very nice. That's what it says there. What? How is that pshat any better than the first pshat? The first pshat is I can't concentrate, so I count birds in the sky. The second pshat is there's a correlation between non-kosher birds and the 19 blessings of the Shemona. There are 19 blessings of the Shemona Esrei, and there are 19 non-kosher birds. And once you say non-kosher, it's also something that's not kosher. If you would say there are 19 kosher birds, okay, no, there are 19 blessings. The blessings are holy blessings, so you'll relate 19 kosher birds to 19 blessings. But now that you say there are 19 non-kosher, because the Torah enumerates the non-kosher birds, what's going on over here? So I want to suggest a very simple pshat. What is the ikor siman? The Gemara says the ikor siman of a non-kosher bird. What's the ikor? It's a doires. What's a doires? Birds are hungry. Like all of us. Hungry creatures. Food! Oh! Prey! It sees a vulnerable creature. What does it do? It injects its claws into the vulnerable creature and holds it down. And then what does it do? It bends its body and eats the prey as it holds down the body. That's a doires. That's not a nice thing to do. The Torah is a bird that has such bad midos, that attacks the vulnerable and with such aggression holds it down with its claws and bends down while it's still alive and eats it up. This is an aggressor. This is a predator. This is nicht für uns. This is not what we want to eat. The bird may not be a doris. So how do kosher birds eat? They also attack. They're not so nice. Kosher birds are not so nice either. What do? They attack. They conquer their prey, but they let the prey die first. And then delicately, they take a piece and they bring it to their mouth. Like I tell you, soup. When you eat soup, do you take the spoon? Do you bend into the bowl? Or do you take the spoon and bring the spoon to your mouth? Okay? The kosher birds don't bend to the bowl of soup. The kosher birds, they have a spoon, they put their spoon into the soup and they bring the spoon all the way to their mouth. It's much more delicate. It's much more disciplined.
Refined.
It's refined. Very good. It's refined, disciplined. There's a etiquette. There's something nice about it. When you're davening Shemona Esrei, what are you really doing? You're attacking Hashem. Give me. Give a bracha. You ever see Rav Chaim? Bracha! They attack Rav Chaim all the time. Rebbe, give a bracha! Give a bracha! They keep on screaming in all of these videos. Give a bracha! Give a bracha! Calm down over here! Calm down over here! You go screaming at him. Give a bracha, give a bracha. He'll give a bracha if he wants to give a bracha. When you dive into Hashem, what is Hashem? An ATM machine. an ATM machine. Push the buttons, the money comes out. What is Hashem? You count to Hashem, Davin, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you count the non-kosher birds. Don't be like the non-kosher birds. Be very careful. When you come to Hashem and you ask, give me, give me. There are different ways to ask. There's different frames of mind. You can be like a non-kosher bird, or you can be like a kosher bird. A non-kosher bird is conquer. Put your claws. Suck out the blood. When you come to Hashem, give me, give me, give me. I'm holding you hostage, Hashem. If you don't give me, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That's not their heritage. When you daven before Hashem, just because Chazal have numerous times, daven, 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 the koyach of tefillah, has to be with their heritage. Has to be with an attitude of ni'imus. There's a frame of mind, and there is an attitude that comes along with asking Hashem for a handout. Where every day, three times a day, we ask Hashem for handouts. Hashem, I need this, 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 this. Please, please, please. Non-stop. Give, 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 give. Okay, that's what you're supposed to do. But Hashem, it's not your hostage. Hashem is not your ATM machine. There has to be a ni'imus, a pleasantness. When this Amoira Davin Shmona Esrei, each bracha, he counted the non-kosher birds. There are 19 blessings. There are 19 non-kosher birds. And he kept on reminding himself, as we go from blessing to blessing, and we make a request, I remember, don't be like this bird. Don't be like this bird. Don't be like this bird. When you ask Hashem with derech eretz. You ask, you come prepared. You come with merit. With zuchusim, you ask with ni'imus, the same way the kosher birds acquire food by capturing, attaining their needs from this world. Okay, Rabbi, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming and listening.
The source is Yerushalmi Brachos 2:4.
Yerushalmi Brachos 2:4. Mr. Rappaport, Yerushalmi Brachos 2:4.
2:4.
Brachos 2:4. Amen.
So this video shall be this. I think it says there that the reason why it was owned. But it's always because you have the most But it's very interesting that in other words, the sons.
Yes.
The sons have. So because you have.
Children. So, who's your Rebbe?
Yeah.
Very true. You have a tragedy. Where do you go? It will destroy you. Trauma. Today, you know, they're professionals. Okay,
The teaching is like, but the matnas kahuna can give it to the daughters.
Yeah.
right? So let's say the Kohen dies, you give it to the. So there's something there. Also, like
children. Our children. Doi dies. A very unique doi. Doi is the two bad.
Yeah.
And they push the curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is rated R? What's going on here? There's a rated R discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, over here, the Kodesh Akadosh, and they have the Baz. Don't take off the Baz. And now they did not take off the Baz. They push the Baz, and it should push the curtain.
Yeah.
It should push the curtain at 2 points.
Yeah.
And it should appear from the outside, like an Isha.
Yeah.
So what it means is, it means that the Torah, there's a mature level. Torah is like the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael is like a mother and a child. The mother nurses the child, and the Aron itself is depicted in that fashion in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Out again, pushed up against the curtain. So the same way you have that kind of stuff, this like a little weighted R, I have to say in the right places. The same way you have this idea, Dori means already. Right. If you want to go into the etymology, it's the same principle. It's a mother nursing a child. And to own Christ enough, you have the word dove. Unbelievable. And Mordechai married his rabbi's daughter.
Wow.
That creates a whole new dynamic of what was Mordechai's relationship to Esther. So what, you say that is his first cousin. Now his first cousin, okay.
He nourished her, she nourished him.
Yeah.
Okay, they were, but there's a total relationship. Yeah. The whole miracle is keenly clear. The whole Yom Kippur poem, the Gemara, they were macabre. So, and where does it come? It comes from Mordechai the Esther. Mordechai married his niece, very nice. Mordechai married his first cousin, very nice. But when you say that Mordechai married his Rebbe's daughter, that creates
a whole different
Torah relationship.
Yeah.
It's a relationship all built upon the Besorah.
Yeah.
And then when it comes, the result is Kimash, Kimikar. We have a whole different ring to it. Tremendous Chiddush. Tremendous Chiddush.
The Dairies is like a kid makes a bracha to get the candy. A kid makes a bracha, he wants to get the candy because his father says, Shabbat and Fari. Right?
Yeah.
So you grab it, you're done.
Garden.
When we make a bracha, with Tasha. Right. So all the brachas are your dairies. You're
a dairies. Because you're making a bracha. Oh, nice. You're eating the food.
Right.
Okay. You make a bracha about Tasha. You're not going to give me some bracha about Tasha. I had a friend, every time I told him apart, he was about my niece. Why the Baden? The Baden, the Baden came out of the Shnei-Darish. Because it's been yoyim. I thought, you're 22 years old. You have nothing else to tell me. Okay, all right, listen, I give him a pass. The next day he tells me another four like this.
Okay.
After
there's
a few,
a guy wrote
that's
a book.
Sick mind.
A guy wrote a book 40 years ago. His name is Edwards. He says that it was about all the Gemaras and all the things that are.
All the dirty Gemaras.
Right. But you can't forget that most religions were based on sex.
It's true.
They were based on that, right?
Because it's really a contradiction.
And now, this is also a problem. If you don't see the Shabroi, what is the problem? Women don't dress like that. They dress, you shouldn't see.
It's a steer, right? Right.
Although,
the Gemara is a fetish.
His grandmother sat with the kid and had the rest.
Probably.
I remember in Eretz Yisrael, they used to do that. They used to walk the street, and too many women would sit with the baby. And I don't know if there is.
So how do you explain all this in China? I have no idea.
All right.
It's whatever.
Tell your sister I mentioned much of Shabbos to her.
Good Shabbos. Thank you for coming.
Sure. Was I supposed to say Kadosh Baruch Hu? I don't see what Meir is saying. I don't know. So people say, I don't know what.
You wait a few days. So you say.
No, wait, I came back. I don't know.
No, he was nobody else. So he starts saying, you make like that's the action.
No.
That's the action.
I'm going to take away his Kadosh.
No, he's not saying Kadosh.
I feel very sensitive about these
things. No, don't worry.